to our family service today on Sunday the 2nd of August. My name is Simon McDowell and I'm one of the church wardens here. And it's a very warm welcome to all listening to this podcast. Unfortunately, Natasha is still away with her family and we pray for her and her family at this difficult time. Do follow on in the words in the service sheet and do say the words in bold. There's more details for our children at the end in our kick sheets, and there's other resources as well available to us. We start with an opening prayer. Lord God, as we gather here today to listen and participate in this service, let our hearts be open to your love for us. Bring us the knowledge of your healing power. Give us ears to listen to your word and its teaching, and deliver us peace from our busy lives during this service so we can feel your presence here with us. Help this podcast bring us together as a church family. Even if we may be physically separated, we all worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. We're now going to start with our songs, and these have been chosen by Tina Edwards today. We'll have The Heavens They Preach, followed by You Have Called Us Out of Darkest Night. Please do join in if you'd like to. The words are on the sheet.
Tell the grace that broke into our strife.
Come to the time of confession, where we say sorry to God for the things that we've done this week and the things that we haven't done that we should have done. Please do follow on and say the words in bold. God our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For behaving just as we wish, without thinking of you. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For failing you by what we do and think and say. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For letting ourselves be drawn away from you by temptations in the world about us. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For living if we were ashamed to belong to your Son. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins, so we can say these words. May the Father of all mercies cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image, to the praise and glory of his name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Richard is now going to read Romans for us. Please do listen in.
Today's reading is taken from the letter to the Romans, chapter 9, reading verses 1 to 5. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying, my conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of mine own race, the people of Israel. Theirs is the adoption to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship and the promises. Theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Richard. And now we have the honour of Bishop Allen, who is opening God's word for us today.
Lord, open our hearts to your word, and your word to our hearts. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Some subjects are just too painful and difficult to talk about. My friend Laura is a rabbi. She always carries a little elephant in her handbag, and when she's in a meeting or something that comes up that needs to be said but can't be, she gets out her little elephant and puts it on the table. Today's Bible reading from Romans raises a very difficult issue that's been in the news. Cue one of Laura's little elephants. We need to talk about anti-Semitism. Holocaust Memorial Day marks the tragedy and evil in Central Europe 75 years ago. But anti-Semitism has been a constant stain on the character of all European states and churches over hundreds, thousands of years. One BBC report from February says there have been more reports of anti-Semitic incidents in the UK this past year than ever before. I'm really shocked. I wish I could say the church has always fought anti-Semitism, but I can't. Indeed, there have been times the church has led the charge. It's a skeleton in our closet. A hate crime that has caused genocide in its time and just won't go away. For Christians, it also poses a key question. What kind of God do we actually believe in? And what kind of people does believing make us? The letter to the Romans, many say the greatest of Paul's letters, was addressed to Roman Christians who had fallen out seriously with one another over their theology. Paul wanted them to raise their sights and hold together without compromising their beliefs. In the blue corner, as it were Jewish Christians. They knew that to please God, you had to do what it said in the scriptures. This obviously meant being circumcised, keeping the food and all 613 of God's holy laws. It might be socially embarrassing to do it, but any sogginess on this question would undermine your standing with God. In the red corner, as it were Gentile Christians. They believed that Jesus transcended all the old rules. A London taxi driver once said to a bishop I know, "If Jesus Christ is risen, everything else is rock and roll." This second group would say, "Amen." Moral principles matter, of course, but as far as circumcision and food laws go, all bets are off. Follow them if you want, but you don't have to in order for God to love you. So, big theological division, and this big theological snit played out in all sorts of ways in daily living. What people ate, who they socialised with, how they worked. The Christian community in Rome was seriously divided. Everyone was right, of course, from their own point of view. I often find that too. And that was the problem. So what was Paul's answer? For him, the big issue at the centre of this isn't an either-or. He agrees with what each group says about God and themselves positively, but not with what they deny about the other lot. Yes, he says to Great One, God's promise is rock solid. Nothing has been lost. But that doesn't make Gentiles, who live faithfully as the Gentiles they are, second-class Christians. Yes, he says to Group 2 in their red corner, God has now miraculously opened up his covenant to you too, 100%, and come as you are. But that doesn't mean your religion displaces or replaces God's ancient covenant promises. God is faithful. This isn't just an intellectual argument. Here in Romans 9, Paul expresses deep grief and longing for the Jewish people to whom he belongs. Like so much else about Paul, it all comes down to the day he, a righteous, well-educated Pharisee, met Jesus in a blinding light on the road to Damascus. It knocked him off his horse. It turned his whole life round. He stopped persecuting Christians and became one. But this wasn't the kind of conversion where you trash the old and replace it with something completely new, a kind of year zero. Meeting Jesus Christ didn't stop him belonging to the God he encountered in the Hebrew Scriptures. No, for him, it was Jesus who made sense of everything he believed about God. Making this bigger connection felt like falling in love. He committed his whole life thereafter to spreading the good news of Jesus everywhere he could. He travelled all over the Mediterranean, telling people and gathering communities of disciples. Here in Romans 9, he says this is his greatest disappointment, his greatest grief, that so many of the Jews he meets just don't buy what he's saying. The story of Jesus that makes sense of his world, that inspires him, just annoys them. They don't want to know. Some even try to silence him and report him to the authorities who have thrown him into jail. Why do so many of his fellow Jews reject Jesus? Why won't they come with him on this journey he's been on? He's very upset. And what's he going to say? Well, he could say, a plague on Jews who don't believe for their hard hearts. They've blown it. But he doesn't. That would rubbish his whole faith. He won't do it. And neither should anyone else who wants to follow Jesus Christ. The shameful history of Christians persecuting Jews always seems to have involved a replacement theology. We have somehow replaced God's ancient people, and that's that. No, says Paul. And if ever we come across any suggestion of this dangerous nonsense in church, a bright red light should come on. It's wrong. And the results of that kind of thinking have been catastrophic in church history. Antisemitism is not only shameful history, it's bad Christianity. What else can we say about these verses from Romans? Well, Christians have always fallen out seriously among themselves over deep matters of faith and conscience. That shouldn't surprise us. It happened then, it happens now. But, says Paul, God matters more than any of us, and his promises are faithful and stand. It's only God who looks on our hearts and knows the truth. We are not his managers or minders. We are just his friends and servants and children by adoption and grace. Our standing with God does not depend on any virtue or truth of our own, but only on God's free grace. God's promises stand, to Jew and to Gentile alike, says Paul. God can do whatever he wants, like a potter working clay. He only allows a hardening of heart to come upon some of his Israel, so that in the end the Gentiles can be added, and in the end of all, Israel will be gathered in. All Israel, he says. So praise God this morning that we are not self-made believers, but beneficiaries of his grace through faith, because it's that that makes us children of Abraham, unworthy, adopted children of a most worthy, faithful God. Remember this. Remember Jesus is risen, and everything else is rock and roll. Amen.
Thank you very much, Alan, for those words. We come to our next song now, and it's Your Name.
As morning dawns and evening fades, you inspire songs of praise that rise from earth to touch your heart and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing it louder. Nothing has the power to save but your name. Jesus, in your name we pray, come and fill our hearts today. Lord, give us strength to live for you and glorify your name. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Your name is a shelter like no other. Your name, let the nations sing.
Say the words that affirm our faith in God through the words of the Creed. Please do join in. Let us declare our faith in God. We believe in God the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. We believe in God the Son, who lives in our hearts through faith and fills us with his love. We believe in God the Holy Spirit, who strengthens us with power from on high. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We have more Richard now from the intercessions, and thank you so much, Richard, for doing a last-minute stand-in.
In our prayers this morning, when I say, we pray to the Lord, please respond, we ask in his name. And so, in the power of the Spirit, and in union with Christ, let us pray to the Father. We pray for the Church. Lord Jesus, you pray that your people would be one. Forgive us, Lord, and take away the pride and arrogance which divides your Church. Break down the walls which separate us. Unite us with your bonds of love, and help us to accomplish your will. As our church buildings slowly and carefully reopen, We give thanks that as members of your church, we can praise your name together. We pray for Natasha and her family at this difficult time. We pray to the Lord. We ask in his name. We pray for the world. As the countries in your world continue to fight to control the COVID pandemic, we pray for all the who have not been able to enjoy the beauty of your creation during lockdown. The trees as the wind rustles their leaves, the colours of the flowers, and the singing of the birds. We pray to the Lord. We ask in his name. We pray for our community. Father, we pray for the community in which we live, the community where we long for God to demonstrate his power and his sovereign will. We pray for our neighbours, and we remember those who are sad, lonely, and afraid. We give thanks for all who have worked throughout the lockdown to provide help with shopping and deliveries to those who were isolated, and also to those who rang just to say hello to the lonely. We pray to the Lord. We ask in his name. We pray for those in special need. Father, we think of those who live alone, those who often have no one to talk to for days, those with no one with whom to share their hopes and fears, their worries and their concerns, their smiles and their tears. In a moment of silence, we think of them and raise their names to you, O Lord. We pray to the Lord. We ask in his name. We remember those who have died and pray for the bereaved, for us and all those who mourn the passing of a dear one. Give them the peace that passes all understanding. Their passing will not be forgotten, and their memories will be with us forever. We pray for all who have lost a dear one and who could not mourn their passing in the normal way. We pray to the Lord. We ask in his name. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hear the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And the collect for today, the eighth Sunday after Trinity. Lord God, your Son left the riches of heaven and became poor for our sake. When we prosper, save us from pride. When we are needy, save us from despair, that we may trust in you alone. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And our final song today is The Joy of the Lord is Our Strength.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you. Oh, oh, oh.
Thank you for joining us. We'll leave with a final prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you that you have brought us safely to the beginning of this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and guide us to do what is always right for you. In the name of the one God, now and forever. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining us today. We have John Wheatley next week, so please do join us again for a podcast next Sunday. And we also have services still at St Giles on a Sunday at 9 a.m. Thank you, and see you soon.